Amen. Now, the text of Scripture I want us just to consider tonight in this Remembrance Night service are the words of verse number 13 there in John's Gospel, chapter number 15, where it says, "A greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." These words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to his own disciples. And my, they are words that are often inscribed in war memorials throughout our land, and indeed throughout our nation. Indeed, such words in that context, they remind us of the many who have given their life for the love of their country, their family, and for freedom. And tonight in this remembrance service, we do remember those of our armed forces who have given their life in two world wars and other international conflicts as well. We also remember those of our security forces and civilians in our own province who were murdered by terrorists during the troubles here in the province of Northern Ireland. And my, it is proper that we remember such. It is proper that we never forget the sacrifice and indeed the bravery of those who have given their lives for our civil and indeed religious liberties and freedoms today. But friends, tonight, as well as a fitting tribute to those who have given their life and sacrificed their life in a time of conflict, these words here also in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 13, they remind us of an infinitely greater sacrifice. And that sacrifice was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, upon the cross of Calvary to save his people from their sins. My, it is this very sacrifice that Christ was referring to when he spoke these words to his disciples. Yes, with the exception of Judas Iscariot, who was a false professor, the disciples were those who had repented of their sins. They were those who had trusted Christ for salvation, who were seeking to follow the Lord and seeking to obey the Lord. Notice what Christ says to them in the very next verse after our text. He says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ utters these words in particular in verse 13, when he says, "Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends," he was telling the disciples that he was soon to die for them upon the cross. By when Christ uttered these words, it was but on the very eve of his crucifixion. And friends, on this Remembrance Night service, it is this greatest of all sacrifices by the Lord Jesus Christ that I want you and I to think about. Why do we say that? Well, just as the disciples could only have their sins forgiven and be sure of heaven by trusting in Christ and trusting in his sacrifice alone for their salvation, so it is the same with all mankind. You see, it is only by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that you and I can be saved from our sins. It is only by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I can be reconciled with God and be made right with God and be sure of heaven. And that is why the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is so important. There's been many momentous events in the history of time, but the most important event in the calendar of all time has been the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. That being the case, there are three things I want us just to note very simply, briefly tonight regarding Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. First of all, I want you to see here the willingness of Christ's sacrifice. He says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You notice there those final words when he says that a man laid down his life for his friends. These words, they speak to us of a voluntary act, a willing act. Thus the Lord Jesus Christ was one who willingly laid down his life upon the cross for our sins. In accordance with the Father's great plan of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, he willingly left heaven's glory. He willingly left behind the glory and the splendor of heaven, and he willingly came into this sin-cursed world, and he went willingly to the cruel cross of Calvary, a cross of terrible ignominy and shame and pain and suffering. You think of what he says to us in John's Gospel, chapter 10. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He giveth his life for the sheep upon the cross. Again, speaking of his own sacrifice later on in John chapter 10 and verse 18, speaking of his very life, he says this. He says, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." As you think of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ tonight, see that it was a willing sacrifice. He gave himself willingly and freely for us upon the cross. And you know, tonight in this remembrance service, whenever you and I think of our armed forces here from Northern Ireland in particular, and no doubt also many from the south of Ireland who gave their life in the First World War and also in the Second World War, and also when we think also of our own security forces who gave their life in recent times in the troubles in Northern Ireland against terrorism, each and every single one of them were volunteers. You see, there was no conscription in Northern Ireland or in the south of Ireland before partition in the time of the First World War. And my each and every one of them willingly joined our armed forces to fight against the powers of evil and ungodly men. And in giving their life, even those in recent times in our troubles here in Northern Ireland, they laid down their life. They were volunteers, and mighty willingly laid down their life. And you know, likewise, whenever we think of Christ, we can say that he went willingly to the cross of Calvary, to the cross of agony and shame. And this he did out of infinite love for guilty sinners like you and like me. Indeed, speaking of Christ's redeeming love for his people, Isaiah says, "In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them." Again, think of the words of the Apostle Paul speaking of the sacrifice of Christ. He could say, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The hymn writer could say, "Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary." Yes, Christ, the sinless Son of God, he left heaven willingly. And he came into this sin-cursed world, and he went to a terrible cross of agony and shame. And he did so out of amazing love and amazing pity for sinners like you and me in this meeting tonight. Yes, people, we see here the willingness of Christ's sacrifice. Oh, as you think of him giving his life, see that he gave his life willingly on the cross of Calvary. Yes, not only the willingness of Christ's sacrifice. Notice something else here in connection with this verse. Notice the necessity of Christ's sacrifice. It says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And you see, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life upon the cross, it must be said that he had to die. It must be said that he had to shed his own blood. Think of the words of the hymn writer regarding Christ. "There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in." Oh, there was a great necessity in the laying down of Christ's life upon the cross. You see, whenever Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and took the forbidden fruit, sin and its consequences from them has passed upon all mankind. The Bible says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Thus, we are all guilty of sin, every single one of us, in thought and word and in deed. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. My sin is the breaking of God's law. It's the coming short of the glory of God. Sin is something that grieves Almighty God, God who is holy. Sin is something that separates us from God. And sin is something that condemns each one of us to eternal punishment and hell after this life, the lake of fire, that place of everlasting judgment and punishment for sin. You see, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible declares that the way of the ungodly shall perish. And that's the ultimate, indeed the awful end of sin. Yes, this is the plight and the condition of us all by nature because of our sins. But dear people tonight, men and women, young people, boys and girls in our meeting, please understand tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is one who is vastly different from all the rest of humanity and all the rest of mankind. What do I mean by that? Well, being the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ was one who was sinless. He was without spot. He was without blemish. The Bible says he did no sin. He knew no sin. The Bible speaks of Christ and says he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. The Bible describes the Lord Jesus Christ as a lamb, the Bible says, without blemish, as a lamb without spot. He did no sin. He was impeccable. He could do no sin. How different the Lord Jesus Christ is from you and I and all the rest of humanity. And all the rest of mankind. Therefore, being the sinless Christ, the sinless Son of God, Christ went to the cross, the Bible tells us, as our substitute. And my, he paid the debt of our sin in full upon the cross when he poured out his life unto death and he cried out, it is finished. And by his sacrifice, as the sinless Son of God, by the shedding of his precious blood, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He made a way whereby you and I could be saved from the awful ruin, the awful plight and penalty of our sin. The Bible speaks of Christ in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And this is what it says, and in connection with the sacrifice of Christ. It says, for Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And it's through the sacrifice of the sinless Son of God that you and I can be brought to God, that you and I can have fellowship with God. And know God as our loving Heavenly Father. You know, during World War II, the story is told of one who escaped the gas chambers of Auschwitz because another took their place. Another became their substitute. Well, by dying upon the cross as a substitute for all of his people, what did Christ do? He opened up a way for sinners like you and me to be saved from the awful ruin and plight and penalty of our sins. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says the Son of Man has come to give his life a ransom for many. Oh, see tonight, dear friends, in this Remembrance Night service that Jesus Christ had to die. He had to shed his blood upon the cross because there was nothing else of self, nothing else of man, nothing else of this world or of man's devising or of man's planning that could atone for our sins and blot out our sins before Almighty God. Please understand tonight that our works done with the best will in the world cannot save us from our sins. Money cannot buy us God's salvation. Church membership, church ordinances cannot purchase for us salvation. My, our own self-righteousness cannot atone for sin. The Bible says that our righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Yet the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, but now once on the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Writing over in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 22, the Apostle Paul says, without shedding of blood is no remission. And what that little verse really means, it is only through the sacrifice of Christ, only through the precious blood of Christ applied by faith to our hearts, that you and I can be saved, that you and I can be made right with God. Oh, friends, this is why the Lord Jesus Christ had to die upon the cross. Yes, it was a willing sacrifice. He gave up his life. Yet it was a necessary sacrifice because there was no one else who could pay the price of salvation and for redemption of sinful man apart from the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. One final thought I want to leave with you tonight. Notice the outcome of Christ's great sacrifice. The outcome of Christ's sacrifice is that a people, this is what the Bible tells us, that a people are saved from their sins. You think of the words of the angel to Joseph regarding the incarnation and the coming of Christ into this world. He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That leads you and I to ask the question, who are this people who are saved from their sins? Such are all those in time who repent of their sin before God, and those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as Savior. The Bible says in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this, that if you're to know the blessing of God's salvation in your life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross, then as a repentant sinner, you too must come by faith to Christ and trust him as your own and personal Savior. This is something that the Lord in mercy calls upon you and I, each one of us as individuals, to do. He says to you and I in the prophecy of Isaiah, he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. To be saved from our sins, the Lord says to you and to me, he says, look unto me. Trust in me, he says. Put your faith and trust in me and in my sacrifice upon the cross for sinners. My repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ means you, yes, confessing before God your sin, that you're not owning your sin as wrong in the sight of God. Means you turning from your sin. It means you believing in your heart that Christ has died on the cross for your sins. Means you asking the Lord Jesus Christ by faith to wash away your sins in his precious blood and to save your precious, eternal, never dying soul. Turn with me in your Bible over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 10. Look at these tremendous words here of the Apostle Paul in verse number 9 of the chapter. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. What a promise. The Lord promises in his word that he is rich. In other words, he's merciful, he's gracious to each and every one of us who call upon him for salvation. Dear friend, this is how you can be saved. The greatest of all blessings of life, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And you know, whenever you are saved by faith in the sacrifice of Christ, what does God do with your sins? The Bible says that He forgives all your sins for time and for eternity. In the Old Testament prophecy of Micah, Micah is speaking to the Lord about this very fact. And he says to the Lord, "Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." In other words, God casts our sins into the sea of His forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore when we trust and embrace Christ as Savior and for salvation. Not only will He forgive all our sins, but my, when you trust Christ as Savior, God will liberate you from the bondage of sin in your life. The Bible says, "Sin shall not have dominion over you," the promise of God to all who trust Christ as Savior. This year is the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings. And on that day, many of the Allied forces gave their life to liberate Europe at that time from Nazi Germany. Well, dear friends, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you this, there's liberty for you from the shackles of sin and of Satan. The Lord can set the prisoner free. Also, whenever you trust Him as Savior, God will be with you. By the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in your heart and dwelling in your soul. You think of that wonderful promise that Christ gave to His disciples before He went up into heaven. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The Lord will be with you in every circumstance of life that you will face. He will give you grace to serve the Lord, give you grace to live for His honor, to live for His glory. In every trial and battle of life, He will never fail nor forsake it is people who trust Him, who are redeemed by His precious blood. There was a lady by the name of Darlene de Belair Rose. She and her husband, Russell, were missionaries in the land of Papua New Guinea at the outbreak of World War II. She was just a young bride in her early 20s. And at that particular time, that area was known as the Dutch East Indies, and it was invaded by the shock troops of the Japanese Imperial Army. And her, along with many other prisoners, were taken prisoner at that time. And they suffered awful hardship and awful trial. And on Friday the 13th, 1942, her husband, Russell, was taken from her. She was never, ever to see her husband again upon the scene of time. He was loaded up on another lorry and taken off of other prisoners to another concentration camp. But she never, ever was to see her husband again. But you know, whenever he was taken from her, he leaned over the tailboard of the lorry that was taking him and other prisoners away at that time. And he said these words to his young wife. He says, "Remember one thing, dear. God said He would never leave us nor forsake us." My, she was to prove that promise through days of awful hardship and trial and difficulty until she was liberated at the end of the Second World War. In fact, she wrote her life story for this particular reason, to show all those who read her life story that no matter what happens in life, when you know and trust the Lord as Savior, the Lord is still upon the throne. And the Lord will never fail, nor forsake, nor leave His own redeemed people. And my, when you trust the Lord, you will have a friend, I tell you this, that sticketh closer than any brother in this life. And also, when you trust Christ as Savior, my, God will save you. Save you, the Bible says, from the wrath to come, from the awfulness of a lost eternity in hell, the lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And He will take you one day into heaven's glory. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My, looking forward to heaven, David could say, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a place heaven is. It's a place, the Bible tells us, of eternal joy, eternal peace, where death and sin and sorrow and Satan are gone. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, John tells us about heaven, and he says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and will be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Friends, this is the great hope, the great inheritance that belongs to all who are saved and redeemed by faith in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Men and women, young people in our meeting tonight, I'm sure it's your longing to be in heaven one day, to be in heaven's glory. To be in heaven then, now in time, you need to repent of your sins. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone to be your Savior. You think of what our text says tonight here in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 13. It says, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. On this Remembrance Night service, I urge you tonight to think of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross, as you rightly remember the sacrifice of others. Think upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and in doing so, put your faith and trust in that very same Christ who shed his blood and rose again. And praise God, you shall be saved for time, for all of God's great eternity to come. For the great promise of God's holy word is this, and God cannot lie. He says in his word, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God bless his word tonight to every heart and to every soul, and for Jesus' sake. We're just going